Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship, or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
Would you please stand for the reading of our scripture? Our scripture comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 14. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and He was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that He didn't make. Life itself was in him, and this life gives light to everyone. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Has it been a busy season for anybody else? Throw up a hand if it's been a very, very busy holiday season for you. It's been a relatively busy season for me, too. There's just been a lot of stuff that's come up. Every week, I get these advertisements in my email promising me that they'll provide some sort of already prepared sermon that is reliable and it's solid, it's good stuff. And I figured, you know, it's been so busy, I'm going to try one of those out this week. No time like Christmas Eve to try out something that you've never tried before, right? And so I'm going to give this a shot and see how it goes. We'll just read through this. I haven't given much of a proofread, so we'll start. Okay. Good evening, Helena, Montana. I want to start by thanking Walter for the really lovely version of Ave Maria. I've never heard the accordion sound so sweet. Moving on. Can you believe the snow we've been having lately? Thanks so much for digging out of the blizzard to make it here for Christmas Eve, especially those who had to brave it on West Custer Avenue. Now, how many of you caught the game the other night where the Capital Girls basketball Bruins walloped the, is that pronounced Butte, but whichever it is, way to go, ladies. And I want to thank all of you who offered compliments on my sparkly holiday high heels that I'm sporting tonight. They were a gift from my granddaughter that she brought back for me from her honeymoon to Seattle. I don't think this is going to work. I'm sure the rest of the sermon is just fine, but there are a few things that just haven't lined up so far. It was a free sample, so I guess you get what you pay for. I think one of the problems is it's not a message from somebody who dwells among you, not a message that comes from somebody in your neighborhood. See, Christmas is about God coming near, about the Lord of creation drawing near to us to dwell with us, God showing us in person what it means to live and serve and love in perfect obedience. This isn't the story of a far-off God who sent the course of the universe into motion a couple of millennia ago and has since ghosted on creation. This is a story of a God who has always been near to us. And Christmas shows us how God desires to draw near to us. And that leads to one of the first things that we can glean from this evening's scripture, and that's this. Christmas is about being present. Christmas is about being present. In the passage, it says that in the beginning, the Word already existed. He was God, and He was with God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. There is nothing that exists that He didn't make. A lot of times around Christmas time, I'll remember to be still for a while because I've been listening to the nearly silent sound of snowflakes falling on the layer of white that started to accumulate on the ground. It's a very serene experience that's been missing this year. I don't know if you have missed that as well. There's something about that beautiful visual that just draws me into a place where I'm contemplative. I just have to take some time to take stock and think about the meaning of the season, but that cue hasn't come this year. But it doesn't make it any less meaningful. I've had to dig out from underneath my own pile of busy this season to find the peace that usually came with those seasonal reminders. As I looked, Christmas is still there. It always has been. and always will be, the Scripture reminds us that Jesus has been there from the beginning. Always will be. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we're reminded that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And any joy we get out of this season from other stuff may be nice, but maybe we feel robbed because all we're left with is the unchanging love of Jesus if you strip all these other pieces away. And that leads us to wrestle with the question, if this other stuff never shows with its ribbons and bows, is Jesus really enough to make Christmas Christmas? One of the other things that we can gain from this passage is that Christmas has always been about light. Christmas has always been about light. We read on in the passage from John, "Life itself was in him, and this life gives light to everyone. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." There are lights all over the place at Christmas. That's one of the joys. I remember when I was growing up in a household with an electrician father, we would decorate all around the house. There would be all sorts of lights within the house and outside of the house, and I would get to help out with that. It wasn't the type of setup where you could view it from space, but it was still pretty impressive. And I'd love to get up on the roof with my dad and run around up there like I had no sense. It was a lot more fun at the time before I had a sense and dread over my own mortality. I don't want to get up on roofs these days. But we cranked up the power for the month of December. I think that whole lighting up the house endeavor has become more efficient these days. You've seen those houses that the entire wall is lit up by the laser beams over the side. It's like they got all of the full Clark Griswold effect with a fraction of the time, effort, and energy. And then you've seen the incandescent filament Christmas lights being replaced by LEDs, so you can see that even the tiniest lights of this season can bless you with minor blindness against the black drop of winter darkness. But that's a powerful reminder that Jesus shines even more brightly against the backdrop of our lives, whether it's filled with joy or with despair. If we're struggling, we may not be able to flush out the darkness, but we can always shine the light that's never going to go out on us. Life and light was in him. And on our journeys toward belief or as believers, we get that holy light that shines on us from time to time. And if I remember my light science correctly, dark things absorb the light while lighter things reflect the light. What do we do with the light that shines on us? What we do with that light says a lot about what we're made of. Have you been blessed this season? Have you received kindness from the hand of God in ways that you know you couldn't earn? Because that's the light of Christ showing you love. Don't let it stop with you. Don't just absorb it. Reflect that light to others so that they can know the love of Jesus Christ too. One of the other things from this passage is that Christmas has always been about God's faithfulness. Christmas has always been about God's faithfulness. Verse 14, the Word became human. The Word became flesh and came to live here among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. Sometimes we feel like we don't measure up. There's a lot of comparison that takes place around the holidays, and sometimes we feel like we just don't measure up to what we see of the best of our neighbors displaying in their yards and on social media. There's a favorite holiday movie that gives us a great example of someone who struggles with measuring up. Let's take a look at this one.
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. What a treat!
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not,
For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Did you see why Charlie was all upset at the beginning? He was mocked by his friends because he chose something simple and humble with which to mark Christmas. He feared their laughter, and they laughed. He thought he got it right, and they treated him like he had done something wrong. And then Linus comes out, sets aside his security blanket for a while for the security that comes with the promise that he restates, and he takes everybody to school. That tree was just fine. And ultimately, it didn't matter. We've been looking throughout the season at ways that we might simplify Christmas. And if you choose to mark the birth of Jesus in a way that's simple, that avoids the materialism and bigger is better mentality, folks think you're weird. They think you're out of your mind, that you lack holiday spirit, that you're missing in the fun. But that misses the point. Jesus humbly came to us, vulnerable, fragile, just like us, to show us just how precious we are in the eyes of God. He came to show us that he knows our joys and has experienced our trials, so we could see what it's like for the author and perfecter of our faith to walk in our shoes. It's like undercover boss, but instead of the CEO being on some sort of assembly line, it's the creator of the universe coming to live in the trenches of the human experience with us. Sometimes the simple matter of Christmas is knowing that God cared enough to come to us. When others would make us feel less than we are, Jesus came to remind us that he is always there for us, and he gets us. He understands. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, when he came on a missionary trip to the Americas many, many years ago, a couple hundred years ago, he had an opportunity to serve as a schoolmaster for a little while. And he was having a conversation with a fellow instructor and schoolmaster who was having difficulty with some of the boys in the school. See, some were coming to the school and they didn't have stockings and shoes on, and those who wore their stockings and shoes would make fun of and mock those who came without. And Wesley, hearing about this situation, determined that he could cure it, that if they would simply swap positions as masters of the school for a little while, that there would be some sort of relief. And finding no fault with that, they decided that they would swap places, Mr. Wesley and Mr. Delamotte of the other school. So Wesley showed up on that Monday morning, and as he arrived, he went into the school without stockings and shoes on. So the children looked with surprise at each other and at him. And after a while, the kids who would regularly come to school without the socks and shoes on, they started to sit up a little taller. They started to feel a little bit more confident in their station because they recognized that the master was with them. The schoolmaster was on their side. And then Wesley observed that those who came to school typically with stockings and shoes by the end of that week started showing up without them, and that the evil that had been in the school was effectually cured, his term. See, when we were feeling down because we didn't measure up, Jesus came to us barefoot, vulnerable, humbled. Jesus didn't come to mock those who had nothing. He came to give us what has always been ours through Christ: dignity, value, and worth. What are some things that we can do to experience that gift in the simplicity of our Christmas? I think one of the things that we can do is be willing to walk a mile in another's shoes. Be willing to walk a mile in the shoes of somebody else. Simply show some understanding to folks this season. And if you're looking at their situation, try to put yourself in their shoes and walk in their circumstances for a little bit before you would pass judgment. Second thing we can do is to make worship the center of our Christmas. Make worship the center of our Christmas. Mary and Joseph, they walked away from a good reputation, from their home, from familiarity, to surrender all to God for the greater purpose that God had before them. The shepherds were willing to run away from their sheep, from their livelihood, to go to see this promised Messiah. The Magi were willing to go through treacherous desert to be able to bear gifts and worship this infant king. For the sacrifice of praise that they offered, they all experienced a great joy. When we center on worship, we get to experience that joy too. Worship makes for a very Christmassy Christmas. One of the other things that we can do is to receive the love of Jesus Christ, to receive it, to acknowledge that great gift that's been given to us. C.S. Lewis, the author and theologian, wrote in Mere Christianity, "It's quite true that if we took Christ's advice, we would soon be living in a happier world. You need not even go as far as Christ if we did all that Plato or Aristotle or Confucius offered. We would get on a great deal better than we do. And so what?" he asked. Our world is not lacking for good advice. See, Jesus didn't just come to give us a self-help book or to teach us a more moral way. His life and Christ's lessons showed us beyond a doubt that we fall short of God's glorious standard of love and that we need him as Savior to forgive us of our sins, to give us a new heart, a new hope, a new life. To receive the fullness of Christ's love, don't just resolve to try harder in 2019. Surrender to the light and life and receive a brand new start in the promise of eternity. The fourth thing that we can do to simplify our Christmas is to reflect the love of Jesus Christ, to let it shine through us. God is good to you. And if God is good, don't let it stop with you. Pass that light on to others so that they can also know that Christ came to love and to save. That's part of what we get to do in our act of worship as we sing Silent Night together. We have the opportunity through the simple sharing of the light of candles to take this gift of the love and light of Christ and to share it just as freely as it's been shared with us.